Our scripture for today, for the sermon titled Wisdom for Real Living, is from James, the first chapter, and the second chapter. I love the letter of James. It has so much in it, and so condensed. It's just really great. James, the first chapter, verses 2 through 8. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And some translations say produces endurance, and some say it produces perseverance. But you know what that means. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete. Another word that's there is that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And then to chapter 2, verses 17 through 23. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son at the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made complete or perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. If you want to see where he's called at, Genesis 15, 6. Now, I keep trying to do it, but somehow it keeps creeping in on me. What I'm trying to do is turn off the daily news. But the radio is on in the car, or I'm changing channels on the TV, and there it is again. The highlights of today's news. And boy, those highlights are something else. And today's, every day's news is being reported by all sorts of people, either expounding on how what some group is doing wrong or doing right, or how their ideas, the reporters that is, are the solution to everyday's problems, to today's problems in particular. And if you pay much attention to it, your attitudes and demeanor will be down in the valley. Well, fear not, my friends. Sue's great song this morning was surely one for all Christians who get discouraged or are feeling down or even fearful. And life sometimes throws those bleak moments at all of us. So we all need to remember and we need to trust that our God of the day is still our God in the night. Our God who reigns supreme in our hearts when we have those mountaintop experiences is still our God with us when we're going through the valleys, through the dark and difficult times of our lives. Which leads me to say, there are indeed all sorts of problems in our world today. But the news anchor on that television newscast, well, any news anchor or any so-called expert, is just simply not completely savvy enough to actually have the solutions to our world's problems. But take heart. There are divine resources that will give us real solutions. Indeed, and in absolute truth, the solutions to the problems of our world are found in a source of wisdom that is not human. When we consider the wars, the explosiveness of the Middle East and the Far East, the constant problems of crime and violence and pornography and immorality and hatred and racism and so on and so on, and of course, this puzzling COVID pandemic, we can find ourselves bewildered to the point of despair. In addition, we often have to get up close and face our personal frustrations and disappointments and failures and the many complexities of life. And so, too often these days, we find ourselves feeling miserably inadequate to deal with our troubles. Nations and homes and churches and individuals stand in very real and sometimes even a frantic need for divine wisdom. Without the wisdom of God, we are hopeless in our efforts to cope with all of those responsibilities of living that I have just listed. Well, James, the wise brother of Jesus and the leader of the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem, declares that the answers to the trials and problems of life are actually to be found, and they are found in the wisdom of God. He begins right at the start of his epistle to emphasize that God has assured us that he promises that he will supply divine wisdom to all who ask it from him. Also, while asking, sincerely believing that God will keep his promise. I think it's helpful when reading the letter of James to know that his short but really chocked full epistle is considered by Bible scholars as wisdom literature, very similar to the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, like some of the books like the Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and others. Well, there is a real necessity for wisdom. When James refers to the wisdom of God in a person's life, as he does in verse 5, if you look at verse 5 and following that, he's speaking of God's will being performed in that life. And without the wisdom of God in a person's life, nothing really makes significant sense. There's just an extensive and really a very real emptiness that people who think they've got things just can't grasp the thing that really means something. And I mentioned the conceit of various news anchors, and I have to include the arrogant attitude of some political figures lately. And we see by their pontifications, they suffer from truly not knowing this. But it's true of all human beings. Humans are totally insufficient for living on their own wisely in our world with all of our troubles and all of our trials and problems, with all of those wisely decisions made. There's no way to overstate the serious poverty of wisdom of a person who's trying to live without the wisdom of God. No one ever found God's presence and his wisdom without knowing that he needed them. Those two, God's presence and God's wisdom. When blind Bartimaeus cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, mercy on me, have mercy on me," he knew that he had a need that needed to be met. He yearned for the touch of Jesus on his eyes so that he might see, not knowing how much the gift of eyesight from Jesus would open his knowledge, his new wisdom of all of the world around him. When we feel the necessity for God's presence, really seeking his wisdom, we then understand that we are seeking his counsel. We want him to talk to us. We want him to lead us. If we do not acknowledge the presence of God, we're like a sailboat without a sail, vacant and barren and inadequate for life. James says that in the times of decision or of heartbreak, when we're down in the valley, we need to know that the God we treasure up there on the mountain is truly also down there in the valley with us. And if we will ask God for wisdom and direction and truly believe that he may give it to us, he's there to give it. Luke 11 quotes Jesus putting it this way, "Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." And I say, thank you, Jesus. I believe I understand that. This letter of James we're focusing on this morning indicates that the trials and tribulations become the occasion in which you learn again and in new ways or a new way or in new ways your utter dependence on God. Your faith is tried in order that patience may have that which he identifies as its perfect work. God allows difficulties to come to us, not to defeat us, but to push, to allow our faith to grow, to develop our character, to strengthen our faith, and thereby to know the presence of the living God. The testing times come in order that we understand our need of divine leadership, of comfort, of compassion, of guidance, and of wisdom. And I have to point out specifically, furthermore, we rejoice in troubled times. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, James writes, because it is then when God is able to do something to us and for us and in us and with us that was not a possibility before the introduction of those trials. James is not calling us to asceticism, that is, self-deprivation or intentionally seeking out tribulations. However, because of our potential spiritual growth, we should rejoice in the trials that come upon us. The Lord told the Apostle Paul, as he recorded it in 2 Corinthians 12, that he would remove the thorn in Paul's flesh, but that by it, his divine power would be made perfect in Paul's weakness. So we are to seek the source of wisdom. James quickly says, again in verse 5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God." God is our source of wisdom. Well, I read about someone watching a drunk man, and this must have been several years ago because of the involvement of a pay telephone. This was a place that also had a jukebox is where this drunk man was. And the drunk fellow was putting dimes into a pay telephone on the wall beside him, expecting the jukebox behind him to be playing some tunes of his choice. And he kept feeding the telephone dimes and cursing the jukebox because it refused to play. Well, unfortunately, all too often, even when we're stone sober, we make a similar mistake. You know, pushing this or that, trying to find vitality for living in wisdom and wisdom for life, trying to find that in the wrong places. We may try money or pleasure or position or intellect or other comforts before we will try to find the wisdom of the Lord God. James is telling us that only God is the fountainhead for wisdom, that Jesus Christ is a spring that never runs dry. We learned that in the scripture. The truth is, a troubled world is out there waiting to hear what we have heard. The absolute promise of divine comfort coming from the lips of Jesus, the Redeemer and the Savior. He said, "Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you." That's in John 14. Well, right there is the assurance that the Son of God himself prepares heaven for distressed and sinful people. People down in the valleys, in the loneliness of spiritual darkness, need to hear Paul as he proclaims his confidence in the inseparable, unconquerable, and unexplainable love of God expressed in Christ Jesus. So hear this once again. Romans 8, 35 through 39, so that you can go out and tell it. It reads this way, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Psalm 44, 22. No, Paul writes, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, King David, who was so blessed that he found himself almost all the time on a mountaintop with God, one time found himself in so much trouble that he fell down off the mountain into a valley. And he felt that hell itself had grabbed hold of him. And in anguish, he cried out to God, I love the Lord because he has heard my appeal for mercy. Because he has turned his ear to me, I will call out to him as long as I live. The ropes of death were wrapped around me, and the torments of Sheol, that was his word for hell, overcame me. I encountered trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is compassionate. You see, David knew that God was down there in the valley with him, so he did what we must always do in similar situations. He called out to God, and he experienced the God of heaven bending down on his life to lift him out of his afflictions and his sorrow. You read that in Psalm 116. It's no wonder David, in Psalm 91, declared the Lord as his fortress, as his refuge, as his trust, as his deliverer, as the one and only God. The creator of the universe, the Heavenly Father, the only Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit as one God is the only source of true and perfect wisdom for life. Jesus, the Messianic King, who died for all people's sins, for yours and mine, and arose from the grave to provide heaven for us, and gave us for what now is the Holy Spirit, Jesus is all sufficient to guide us through life in this world. Excuse me. Well, knowing all of this, we truly need to know requirements for wisdom. James says, and I refer you to verses 6 and 7, that we are to ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man, that is the person who doubts, suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So the requirements for wisdom are to ask and to do it in faith, to do it with all faith, with unquestioning faith. We must believe that God is completely able and absolutely willing to give us wisdom. Without this kind of faith, we create for ourselves, or probably better said, we make ourselves incapable of receiving God's promise. And the firm answer from God, those answers come to those who exercise a deep and abiding personal trust in him, even in the dark days, for the God of the day Sue just sang, is still God in the night. And we must realize that God never expects perfect faith. He responds to us, however feeble our faith may occasionally be, as long as faith is accompanies surrender and dedication and obedience. And this is what surrendering to the Lord of salvation is all about. The only way we can know the wisdom of God in our lives is to bring imperfect faith to a loving God and allow Him to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. It is the placing of our confidence in Him who does not fail, confidence in this life, and confidence for eternity. Well, I hope this examination of the sacred scripture from James this morning, I hope that by this we have a deeper understanding of our desperate need for genuine wisdom in life. And with that, we feel we really know that the only source of complete and competent wisdom is our living God. And when we earnestly desire this wisdom and we trust the Lord to keep His promise, we may be assured of receiving solid answers for life's great difficulties. And we need to know that they're always God's answers. Such a realization and faith brings salvation to the soul, cleansing of the heart, and divine counsel for godly living. See, the free gift of God is available to all who will receive it by personal faith in Him and the One who promises to keep His word. And do I hear an amen? Amen. You got to do it because Milton's not here. Okay.